Hello.
Hello. So welcome to the Comedy Nerds, episode 6. My name is Dan McInerney.
And I'm Dustin Diodato.
We're two New York-based comedians, and we also are big fans of comedy in general. And we're here to talk to you about comedy. I thought we should do a little, like, each time, just kind of explain a little bit of what the show is, because, you know, someone might come in on episode 6, and they won't go back and listen. And they'll be like, well, who are these two jokers?
But they should read the description on our iTunes page.
Yeah. But let me ask, do you always read the description on things, or you just listen to stuff?
No, I always read the description.
Oh, see, I'm a big, like, I'll just listen.
That's why
I... Just jump right in and listen. But you're more studious than I am.
I am.
This is why
I used to wear glasses.
Right, exactly. yeah. And then you took them off, and we found out that you actually were beautiful. And then you went to the prom with the quarterback. So this is episode 6, and so you wanted to talk about
I figured, hey, we're on what you might consider a new media.
Yeah.
And, you know, I thought today might be a good day to talk about one aspect of the new media.
Yes.
That, you know, that's all the rage these days with the kids.
They love it.
And that's the YouTube or the YouTube equivalents, you know, the Funny or Dies or whatever. Maybe not Funny or Die, but, you know, YouTube in general, I think, has created a revolution in terms, you know, for people to watch all sorts of craziness and stuff like that. And it's also a situation where anybody can post whatever they want. It's allowed for, you know, sketch groups and improv groups and stuff like that to get way more exposure than was ever possible before. So it's, you know, it's created this, you know, this wonderful opportunity for people, but it's also created a situation where anybody can post at all.
Right. Well, I mean, so YouTube, obviously the biggest one, but there are other, you know, online video sources out there.
Yeah.
And this is, you know, it used to be you'd work the comedy circuit, you know, you'd have to go to colleges and you'd work, you know, the chuckle hut at Peoria or whatever.
Yeah.
And now people have posted things online and gotten big exposure there, and that's led to bigger things. Human Giant jumps to mind. Now we know those guys. So we know that they worked their asses off for years. They weren't just three morons who put something online and all of a sudden they became, you know, these big stars. But that putting things online and the shorts they had online led directly to that. So that's sort of a someone who's maybe at like a medium stature using online to leapfrog up to, you know, now a bigger stature, and they have their own show, which is fantastic. I'm sure you've seen it.
I've seen bits and pieces of it.
Yeah, it's great. I mean, it's really good. But anyway, but we know that. But there are other groups that have used online to get exposure and maybe jump up to the next level.
I've found, and to me, I find this to be a disturbing trend in comedy right now, is that I found that so many groups are actually moving away from the stage.
Right.
And some people are moving away from your typical performance of an audience and just doing straight up video and putting it on the web and saying, hey, everybody, come look at it. And on one hand, you know, it's great because you get that additional exposure. On the other hand, I think it's dangerous because you don't get that feedback. And something that's a minute and a half, 2 minutes long on the internet doesn't really need to be that funny. I don't know. Like, I feel like so much of the video stuff that we see is like, oh, look at this person walking. What's he doing? Oh, there's something happening. Oh, that's the punchline at the end. And, like, it's okay because it's a two-minute video.
Right. Well, but I mean, are people handing these people contracts, or is this just like, I mean, because, you know, there's always been sort of mediocre bad comedy. It's just maybe now it's a little more accessible.
I definitely think that it's allowing groups to make money and allowing groups to get, you know, to get exposure that I don't think they necessarily attention that they don't necessarily deserve. You know, and I think it's also hurting a lot of groups because they think, you know, you see like the, Andy Samberg, you know, he did, what was it?
Lonely Planet, they did Channel 101.
Yeah, that's what I mean.
Well, I mean, they did other stuff besides that, but.
Right. But I mean, you see, you know, like he was the, you know, the internet video success story to me. That he
well,
was.
And not only that, but they were the internet video success story twice. Because first, they got on to Saturday Night Live because of their videos. And then, and Lorne Michaels, I think, very wisely, I mean, you can say whatever you want about Lorne Michaels, but he's a smart dude. I think he very wisely saw, like, this is where comedy is going. And so these guys know what they're doing, so I'm going to grab them and tell them, hey, once a week, do your little short video thing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and that's, and, but then once they were on, now they're on Saturday Night Live. I mean, you know, you can't get much higher than that.
Yeah.
You know, then they make a video for Saturday Night Live, which all of a sudden explodes, and not only explodes Andy Samberg and his two partners, whose names I don't know, but I'm sure they're very nice people. But not only explodes them, but basically makes YouTube what it is. Mm-hmm. Like, I'd never heard of YouTube before someone sent me the Lazy Sunday video. And what was awesome was I was at work, and back in the dark ages of 2003 or 04, I don't know what it was, when you wanted to watch something online, you clicked on it, and then you went and got a soda and came back because it took forever. And I was amazed that when I clicked on the link, this window opened up, and this video just started playing. Like, within 5 seconds, I was like, wow, this is awesome. And then the video was hilarious. And now, you know, now it's been overplayed, and it's kind of like, you know, it's cool to say you hate the Beatles, and it's cool to say you hate Lazy Sunday. But at the time, you know, I remember I played it about 6 or 7 times. Of course, I was also avoiding work, so that helped. But I do remember that it was quite amazing. But I mean, but so, and then, so they used the internet twice to get to one level, and then again, leapfrog to the next level. And that, you know, and that not only brought attention to them and to YouTube, but also back around to Saturday Night Live, where people was like, well, maybe this is, you know, Saturday Night Live is reinventing itself for a new generation. And to a certain degree, it is and it was. That's all I had to say about
that. Yeah, well, I mean, I guess what I'm wondering is, you know, back in the 80s, there was that stand-up boom of, like, everybody and their mother could get some sort of stand-up gig somewhere, and people who had no business getting paid for it could do it.
Were, yeah.
And now what I see is the equivalent of that for these online videos. That everybody and their mother has got a video up there, and there are all these random websites that are like, hey, we'll pay you to do whatever. But when it comes down to it, now what we're seeing is the death of all the websites that thought that that could work.
Yeah. Well, yeah, exactly. I mean, that's what I was going to say. The nice thing, well, I mean, I don't know who was really making money. Like, I think in the difference between the 80s comedy boom and this is that at some point, people were making money. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? And these mediocre comics who probably didn't deserve to be on stage were on stage and were working this circuit and were making a living, if not a great living. They could survive on that. Whereas, like, I don't know anyone except maybe the top 0.1% of people are making money off of posting videos to YouTube.
Oh no, but I mean, you know what I mean? But there are the super deluxes, and there
but
are.
I understand what you're saying, that these sites are collapsing. Like, isn't Super Deluxe gone now?
I believe so.
Pretty much gone.
Or it was the last I heard. It was on its way to death. I do not know if the doors have officially closed.
So I mean, I think the only thing that did survive was, aside from YouTube, was Funny or Die, which had the star power behind it, which, you know, that's we can talk about new media all day, but that's still gonna be what breaks people in the door. And also did have that one huge hit. Basically, they had the landlord was Lazy Sunday for Funny or Die, and you know, that brought people to it. And that, you know, I'd never heard of Funny or Die before that.
Yeah.
And you know, someone sent me that link, and I was like, what is this site? And at the time, I thought it was the dumbest name, Funny or Die. I was like, this is, what a stupid name this is. And the logo was so weird and gross. I was like, this site's never going to make it. Now it's just part of our, you know, I don't even give it a second thought. Now if I make a video, you post it to YouTube, you post the Funny or Die, and that's, you know, those are kind of the two.
Yeah, I mean, I almost kind of look at it, and I don't mean to be negating all the new media, because frankly, that's what we're doing right now, you know? And we're part of that whole, I guess, the thing is, I look at that whole cloud of stuff that's coming out, and it's so great that so many new things are getting exposure, but it's almost impossible to find them, because for every one funny, you know, thing that's posted on YouTube, there's 400 ridiculous things and 300 cats who fall off something.
Right.
You know, and idiots who grab a guitar and play some stupid song, and you're like, holy Christ, and why are 500,000 people watching a video of a 13-year-old kid bitch about his teacher?
Right.
You know, or whatever that kind of crap is. It just seems like too unwieldy of a beast.
Yeah, it is. Although, I mean, again, to bring it back to that 80s comedy boom, I think these kind of things are a necessary evil. Whereas if you have something that's new like this, it kind of needs to expand. And then when it can't, then it needs to kind of collapse and whatever. But that kind of needs to happen. And then, what, you know, the top people are kind of left over. But, yeah, I mean, I think, again, like something like a Funny or Die took that the YouTube idea, which is YouTube is anything, like absolutely anything you want, and kind of took it and was like, okay, first of all, this is only comedy, A, and B, we're going to have this rating system where you're going to vote. And, you know, I mean, I personally, my comedy group had a video that was on the front page of Funny or Die, and we got like this ridiculous amount of views. So I maybe have a slightly
more, you may not be biased.
I have a slightly biased view where I was like, oh, this is great, you know, all these people saw it. So, but yeah, I mean, I think that's kind of, it's kind of necessary where, you know, and it, like for instance, you know, it's kind of like the Wild West right now with all this stuff. Well, that's the way it was back in like 2000, 2001 with like Napster. Where I was like, you remember Napster? Like, there's LimeWire now, but like Napster, back in the day, you put anything into Napster, and like 5 million things would come up. Like, we would sit there and literally play a game where we would try to think of the most obscure song possible, and be like, you put it in, and like there'd be 50 of them, you know? And then that collapsed because that couldn't exist, and now you have like iTunes, which is very organized, which people are making money, you know, and so I think that sort of like expansion until it couldn't sustain itself anymore and then collapse into something that's very organized and, you know, people are making money and everyone's happy with it, you know, and it's not just crazy Wild Wild West. I think that's what we're seeing in this online video world as well. But, you know, but what's funny is I don't know how many people have, you know, put something online. Let's just say they're nobodies. I mean, again, like the Human Giant example is interesting, except for the fact that, like I said, we know those guys, and we know,
and they had the ins, and they had all appeared on VH1 and stuff like that.
We know, you know, those guys were at UCB, literally for years, a decade almost. You know, they didn't just come out of nowhere, but also that I don't know how many people have just come out of nowhere. You know, four kids in Peoria made this video, put it online, and the next thing I know, MTV is knocking on the door.
No, I mean, that's very rare.
But what is interesting is, I have a perfect example. There's a show that's popular in London, or London. There's a show that's popular in England, not just London, called Mitchell and Webb.
What is there in England
besides London? Besides just London.
Let's be honest.
That's like, you know, that's like New York State. It's just New York City. There's nothing else to the state.
Yeah, and then farms. We don't count that.
Yeah. But there's a show called Mitchell and Webb, which is two guys, sketch comedy, sort of across like Monty Python mixed with like Kids in the Hall, sort of. I don't know if you've seen it.
No, you've told me to, and I have.
Very, 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 very funny. And the thing was, everybody was talking about it. And I was like, you know, everyone was like, Mitchell and Webb, Mitchell and Webb, Mitchell and Webb. And so I was, you know, at first, I'll admit, I had a bit of a knee-jerk reaction. I was like, screw Mitchell and Webb. Everybody thinks they're so great. They're probably not that great. I'm not going to watch this. You know what I mean? And then finally I was like, I broke down, and I think someone sent me a link on YouTube, and I watched it, and it was hilarious. And I was like, now I have to find the show and watch every single episode. So it was, and it's on BBC America, by the way, if anyone's curious, in between that and episodes of How Clean Is Your House, I think that's the only two things that are running on it right now.
It's never clean enough. It's never, I don't want to ruin enough. The ending
it's
for you.
Never, it's never, I know. You spoiled it. You spoiled every episode. But
I guess the point that you're making is, I'm sorry, I don't mean to make the point that you're making, but But I guess one of the upsides of that is that you probably never would have had an exposure to that.
Well, that's what I'm saying. That I probably never would have watched it, or maybe I would have watched it years later. But this is something that was already popular, and now the internet made it more popular. So I'm saying, what I'm saying is you have to have the talent and the know-how, and you have to, you know, you can't just set up a video camera in your bedroom and make videos. You know, even like that Lonely Girl 15 or wherever the hell it was that was so popular, it turned out in the end that was actually a professional production.
Yeah.
Like, that wasn't this come from nowhere girl. Like, that was perfectly scripted to do exactly what it did.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know,
But isn't that what you're saying right now? I guess what you're saying right now is part of my concern in the whole thing is that is my fear over a backlash,
right?
Because, you know, when you were saying Mitchell and Webb, your knee jerk reaction was another two guys,
right?
Trying to be funny, which I mean, granted, we're two guys who we're having we're hopefully funny. Accidentally.
Yeah. It's not necessarily our goal to be funny, but if it happens.
Anyway, I guess that's part of my concern is that when there is that talent, you know, like, everybody and their mother can create a vlog, you know?
Right.
And I'm like, I don't care about most of them. I'm going to venture to say that of the maybe like 15, 20 that I've seen, I liked one of them for a minute.
Right.
You know? And so part of my concern is that, you know, even if somebody had the best vlog in the world, I probably wouldn't care because I'm at the point where I'm backlashing against all this stuff. And the minute somebody says, oh, I saw this funny thing on YouTube, it's like, oh, really? Are we not done with that yet? Like,
Yeah, I know what you're saying. I mean, I think the cream does eventually rise to the top where... yeah, I don't know. I don't know what the answer is. But then part of me realizes that I don't really watch a lot of TV anymore. And I don't know when that started. That was not some conscious decision I made.
When you got rid of cable.
I have cable.
I thought you got rid of cable.
No, I have cable. I don't have a DVR.
Oh, okay.
That is a big...
Well, then you don't really have cable.
Right. But I do have cable.
That's probably why I thought that, because...
Yeah, no, I do have cable. That's how I watch Mitchell and Webb on BBC America. That's not one of the standard channels.
Because the guy who... works like 65 hours a week.
Yeah.
Shouldn't.
Well, but that's, but anyway.
Should get right. DVR.
But the point is, but even before I was working ridiculous amounts of hours, I was watching less and less TV. And what happened was I was listening to podcasts. I was watching things online. And the thing is, it just slowly became part of my life. Because at first, I was like, "Screw you, internet! I'm not gonna watch something on the internet." Even as little as like 3 or 4 years ago, I was like, "Who's ever gonna? I'm not gonna sit in front of my computer and watch them. That's ridiculous. I want to sit on my couch." And yet, just gradually, it happened. And now, I think nothing of. Oh, there's a new Battlestar Galactica. I'm just gonna watch it on Hulu. Why? I don't even know when it's on TV. I have no idea. It just occurs to me, it's probably been roughly a week since I've watched the last one. Let me go on Hulu and see if there's a new one. I will sit here and watch it. So, yeah, I think it's just a gradual change. And, you know, people, again, the cream will rise to the top. And there'll be 40 bazillion videos of cats falling off chairs that... you know, are going to get 5,000 views or whatever. The thing that is amazing is...
that they get 700,000
views. Yeah, just because there's so many people out there. I know that sounds stupid, but it's almost like... I mean, a great example is... okay, so there was a show called Freaks and Geeks, right? Which nobody watched. And the guy who created it, his name is Paul Feig. And he wrote 2 books about growing up, which is kind of... some of the stories were same of things that happened to Freaks and Geeks. Long story short... he sold like 1 million copies of the book. And his publisher, they were doing backflips. They were so excited that he sold 1 million copies of this book. Like, you know, whatever. Basically, he was like one of the most successful authors that they had in that publishing company. When he made Freaks and Geeks, like 8 million people watched every week. And that was nothing. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, you know, NBC, like, they almost didn't get through the first season. Like, basically, they got canceled, like, two-thirds of the way through their first season. 8 million, you know, you sell $1 million, people are flipping out. So what I'm trying to say is that it's just so funny how there's so many people that you put anything online and, like, 5,000 people are going to watch it. That's 5,000 people is a lot of people. Or 10,000. Yeah. Or, you know, 1 million are going to watch you play your freaking ukulele or whatever and and sing your little song. I mean, it's just, this is a little off topic, but it's kind of mind-blowing to me that, I mean, we have a video out there. My Kind of Groove is a video there. And it's if you add it up between the number of sites that it's on, it's probably like 25,000 views, which is unbelievable to me. That 25,000 people, give or take, roughly.
Yeah.
I've probably watched it about 100 times, but... watched.
But I mean, you do have that situation of like, if you have 50 people come to your show, awesome. That was a great show.
Yeah. Oh my God. 50 people at a show. Are you kidding me? I mean, you know, that'd be awesome. And yet, you know, this is how many people have watched it online. And that's nothing because, you know, whatever. The landlord literally has 7 million views or something.
Yeah.
So, the only other thing I would say on this topic is that what it has done is somewhat changed at least how film comedy, the way people approach it, or the way I approach it at least. Because I do know this. If I click on your video in YouTube, if nothing happens or nothing funny happens in 5 seconds, I'm going on to the next thing. Because there's too much of, you know, of videos where nothing happens and it's not funny. And, you know, 99% of that is what's out there.
Oh, yeah. No, and it's created a situation where people go, like, anything more than 2.5 minutes is forever.
Yeah, it's forever. But again, like, you got to grab me in literally the first 5 seconds, which is ridiculous. Because, I mean, if you have even the most slightly complicated joke to get to, you're not gonna hook me, you know, you're just not gonna, but basically just have something funny happen in that first, even if it's not really related to the rest of your sketch, just because you have to pull me in, because I don't have time to waste anymore, because if I sit there for 5 seconds and nothing happens, the odds are astronomical that this video sucks, and so I'm gonna just click off and go to the next thing. So you know, so I think that it's that window is getting smaller and smaller, where it's like, okay, now the video's got to be 1.5 minutes, and something hilarious has to happen in the first 5 seconds, because you've got to grab people's attention, you've got to pull them in, otherwise, because it's way too easy to just click the next thing.
You don't think then that may mean a degrading in overall comedy? Do you think that's an increase in overall comedy because it's forcing people to waste less time?
I think it's just different. You know what I mean? I don't know if it's good or bad. Maybe it's bad. I don't know. I'm not one of those people who thinks like every time something new comes along, there's always this hysteria that we're destroying. You know, like when TV came along, oh, we're destroying our imagination. You know, and the video games, you know, oh God, kids are going to go nuts and start killing each other. Like, I think like people basically are who they are, and technology doesn't change it that much. I mean, when they invented the movable press, you know, movable type, I mean, you know, basically there was this hysteria that people were gonna like literally read books and go insane and start slaughtering each other. Like, you know, people are people, and you know, I don't know how much effect technology really has, but so I mean, maybe it is a good thing. Maybe, you know, maybe videos are too long, or sketches are too long, and you know, you can get to the joke faster, but I do think it's definitely changing it. Whether that's good or bad, I don't know. But I think it is definitely changing the way I approach comedy, you know, or that kind of film comedy, where it's like you got to get to the joke right away. You have literally no time to waste.
So you're saying I'm old because I fear
the new technology? No, I mean, I don't think you fear it. I think you're concerned about it. I'm
concerned about it, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I agree with you, as am I. But... But yeah, I mean, I think the internet is an amazing way to, for people who are already talented and are already doing good work, to spread that further. And, you know, I mean, that Mitchell and Webb thing, I think, is a great example. And how many people discovered the state or how many kids today are discovering the state or the kids in the hall or other things through YouTube. Probably a lot, I would guess. I mean, I don't know, but...
Well, I remember, I want to make sure that we mention Porcupine Racetrack in every episode, if at all humanly possible.
Yes.
I remember when I had first encountered somebody who hadn't seen it, and the first thing I did when I went home was I typed it in and I was like, you know, like I have to forward this link on to somebody else. And it was right after Viacom had done their whole, like...
Their sweep
of YouTube. And it's since come back. I mean, you can't really keep YouTube down. But, and I remember thinking, like, you're acting consciously against yourself. Because what are you doing with it?
Right.
You know?
Yeah, exactly.
It's just going to help you get more exposure for a property that you own.
Right.
Sell a DVD. You know?
Well, I mean, I understand that they're like... Hey, people are taking our stuff and using it without permission, and we need to keep a tight rein on this. I think one thing people don't understand is if you don't take action to protect your copyright, you can lose it.
Mm-hmm.
Like eventually, you know, you could theoretically 20 years from now be like, you know, just random Joe off the street. Hey, I own Porcupine Racetrack, and CBS is, or whoever it is. Is Viacom's like, no, you don't. We own it. It's like, well, I had it on YouTube for 20 years and you never made any attempt to stop me, you know, so you obviously don't care about it. And that people have lost copyright doing that. But the response is not to take it off YouTube. The response is to put a better version, you know, somewhere, that's not the crappy like VHS that's like shaking and stuff. You put a great version on there and say, hey, here's Porcupine Racetrack. The DVD is coming out this date, you know, buy it, you know, and that, like, that's the way you counteract that, is not to sue people and attack people and pull it off, is to put your own better version out there and get more people to see it. That's how you do that. So that's my,
all right.
That's my opinion on YouTube.
All right. Final thoughts?
I think, well, let's get your final thoughts.
Yeah, I think after talking about this, I kind of agree with you that we are currently going through, you know, the 80s stand-up, you know, shakedown. And hopefully, in my opinion, that we're sort of working our way out of it. But I'm glad that people are getting exposure, and I'll be glad that people... who are doing it well will eventually be getting paid for it.
It will eventually implode, and I think it already is imploding. But I mean, the thing is, like, the stand up boom, or really anything like that, any boom, like that stand up boom of the 80s, like, it did eventually collapse, but it also did kind of change the way things worked.
Oh,
you know what I mean? So it's not like it's going to go back to the way it was. It just eventually. You know, like I said, the cream will rise to the top. And sooner or later, somebody's going to figure out. And this is my pet theory.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll see if it pans out. But I'm of the belief that, okay, I know we're running out of time, so let me do this real quick. Lucille Ball, right? She was a mid-level movie star.
Yeah.
You know, she was kind of like a Laura Linney today. Like, you heard of her. You kind of know who she is. But she wasn't huge.
Okay.
You know, she was kind of like a B-level star. She went on television, which was a brand new thing. And at the time, TV went out live, you know. It wasn't really recorded. You know, it was recorded on those stupid kinescope things. And Desi Arnaz. I almost called him Ricky Ricardo. Desi Arnaz, you know, he was a smart man. Say what you want about him. He was a smart guy. And he was like, well, how come we can't film it? You know, like we when Lucy's in the movies, why can't we just film it? She looks so much better that way. Why can't we just do that? And we'll edit it or whatever. And they were like, well, that's not how it's done. He was like, well, why not? Just do it that way. And that's what they did. And I mean, she became an international superstar, obviously. Because someone who was a B-level star became a giant star by using a new technology. What's going to happen is somebody's going to figure out some B-level star... Someone who's the best friend on a sitcom right now is going to figure out how to go directly onto the internet and is going to become a huge star through the internet. Because someone like Will Ferrell is already a star using this technology.
Yeah.
But somebody's going to figure out how to bypass. And the thing that's great is is that there's all these barriers in television. You got to pay, you know, the producer and the whoever, and the network takes their piece and the production company takes their piece. Somebody's going to figure out, if you go straight on the web, you can, maybe you'll make a tenth of the money, but you keep all that money for yourself. Because in the end, on television, you're going to make the same amount. Because you're making X amount of dollars, but you have to pass it around.
Yeah.
Whereas, like, if you make this small little slice, and then you only need to get, this is what we're talking about, the book versus the TV thing, you only need to get a certain amount of people to watch your show. And if they all pay you a dollar, or you put advertising on, you know, really specific advertising, then you can keep all that money for yourself. So I think somebody's going to figure that out. And I Love Lucy basically made television, you know, into what it was. I mean, there had been stars before that, but it was like, oh, you know, you can film it and you can edit it and, you know, you can make it look really good, you know, and that, I mean, they had basically invented the sitcom by accident. And somebody's going to figure out a way to do internet video. Sure. That's going to be a new form. Because now people are trying, they're doing sketch comedy. Yeah. And they're doing sitcoms. And they're doing whatever. Somebody's going to figure out how to make internet video work. Uh-huh. And it's going to just explode. And people are, you know. And TV's going to become what radio is now. Which is a very niche, you know. It's right-wing morons talking. Or it's sports talk. Or it's, you know, whatever. And that's my prediction. So we'll see what happens.
Okay.
I could be wrong.
And whoever figures it out, if they want somebody to talk about it and critique it, yes. I'm pretty sure we're available.
Yeah, absolutely. I would love to hear. I think we would love to hear what you think.
Yeah.
I think is where you were going with that.
Yeah.
So we have a little announcement at the end that'll tell you where you can email and go online and find us.
Yeah, all right. Well, I guess that's
final
been...
Final thoughts on internet video.
That's been episode 6.
Yeah.
Thanks for stopping by.
I'm Dan McInerney.
I'm Dustin Diodato.
Catch you later. You've been listening to The Comedy Nerds. If you have any questions, comments, or concerns you would like us to address, please contact the show at info@thecomedynerds.com. That's info@thecomedynerds.com. Also, be sure to visit us on the web at thecomedynerds.com. Our theme music is by the Santa Marias, and you can find them online at santamariasnyc.com. If you like what you heard here today, won't you please write a review in iTunes and tell all your friends about the show. And if you didn't like what you heard, you can write reviews in iTunes. I don't know where you got that crazy idea. I'm Dan McInerney, and for Dustin and myself, thanks for listening.